And he's on it.
A.J. Foyt has won his fourth 500-mile race.
It's a drag race. Marco Andretti, Cornish, who's going to win? At the stripe, it's home.
Goodyear makes a move. Little Al wins by just a few tenths of a second.
You just don't know what Indy means.
More Front Wings Centennial Interview Series.
Welcome back to another edition of More Front Wings Centennial Interview Series. Today we're joined by the 2006 Indianapolis 500 winner, Sam Hornish Jr. Sam, thanks so much for taking a few moments to talk with us today.
All right, no problem.
Sam, of course, you came to Indianapolis your rookie year in 2000. You had eight starts with the pole and the win in 2006 driving for Roger Penske. But, of course, you didn't come to the track as a member of Penske's team. You came in 2000 with PDM Racing. Talk a little bit, if you will, about your rookie year. And you know, you came to the Speedway not as one of these guys that was highly touted, and I certainly don't mean that to be offensive in any way, but, you know, you came and you really worked yourself up from those humble beginnings. Talk about that rookie year and how you evolved as a driver at that time.
And we went into that. We're actually pretty excited going into Indianapolis for PDM. We're running a year old car at that point, which you know, that was where you know, it was actually, you know, totally different chassis than what most everybody else was running. And we went to Las Vegas and we finished third with that car, and actually got some help from Dallara to get a new car. And you know, had the opportunity to go there, qualify the new car. They got qualified 14th, and yeah, I'd been to Speedway many times, but you know, that was my only goal when I started racing was to go to Indianapolis and to try to qualify for the race, you know, at some point in time. So you know, that was a pretty big year for me, because it, you know, gave me the opportunity to go out there and to have a chance to do what I wanted to do, what I thought was going to be my lifelong dream when I was 20 years old. So it was a pretty big year for me, and you know, through running there at Indy, I got an opportunity to go test for the Pennzoil Panther Racing team, and you know, the next time I went back there, I got to run with those guys. So it was kind of a weird deal. It was like I was at the end of the road as far as what I thought I was going to be able to do, and you know, what we had sponsorship and, you know, do what we could afford to go and race, and it just, everything kind of worked out the way it needed to.
Now, Sam, going forward from there, you had sort of a difficult run at Indianapolis from your first year through about 2005. Can you recall for us what your sentiments about Indy were at that time, and did you wonder if you'd ever actually win the thing?
Yeah, I mean, I wondered if I'd ever win it right up to the point that I did, so... The 2000, we had a brand new car there, and through some of the assembly of the car, a couple of the fuel lines got kind of mixed up, so we were only able to use about 3/4 of the fuel that was in the tank, in the fuel cell, and we were just, you know, we had to pit a lot more than everybody else, and ended up having to kind of go out on old tires with more fuel, and ended up spinning because of that, and because a couple cars. Kind of, I thought they were going to get together in front of me, and I just made a mistake. And then, you know, 01, I was, you know, we had a really, really good car, and I was working real hard to try to move up on some of the restarts. And Jimmy Vass was in front of me. He was kind of sandbagging the restarts, kind of hanging back a little bit. And I got a little bit frustrated with the way that he was doing the restarts, because it was causing people to kind of crawl all up the back of me. So I tried to get around him on the restart and ended up spinning, you know, flattened the tires, had to go to pit lane, and got an opportunity to get back out in the car. And we were, I think, 4 or 6 laps down at that point. We ended up getting two laps back. I passed Elio and DeFerrin twice, you know, under green flag racing to get back a lap. And, you know, we had probably one of the fastest cars there, but, you know, the driver made a mistake early in the race and kept us from having an opportunity to win. 02, we were running second, and Thomas Schechter was really going pretty hard, and you know, I felt like I had to catch up to him, and I made a mistake trying to get through lap traffic, keep up with him, and then he ended up crashing about 15 laps later after I did that, and I thought, you know, I was like, well, I should have known better. All I had to do is, you know, just make it to the end. So, 03, we went there, and we were running the Gen 3 Chevrolet, which was pretty far down on power at that point against the Hondas and Toyotas, and, you know, we were the top qualifying Chevrolet. We're the only Chevrolet that was on the lead lap, and we're running fifth with three laps to go when the engine blew up. So that was pretty frustrating. 04, we got caught up in somebody else's accident. We ended up having the fuel, when we were fueling the car, the vent hose got stuck, and we had to go to the back of the line because the vent hose got stuck, and we had to come back in and pull it out of the car. And then, we still had 100 laps to go, and Greg Ray and Darren Manning crashed in front of me, and I was trying to get by them, and ended up getting pinched down pit lane with those two. And then I was racing Bourdais too hard in 2005. We led a ton of laps that year, and I thought that, he got to the inside of me, and I thought, well, I can just run to the outside of him here. Well, he wiggled, and ended up, when he wiggled, he hit my left front tire and ended up in the wall. So 06 was pretty good for us, to come back and to win the way that we did. And, I finally got that monkey off my back a little bit, just either making a mistake or being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, from all of that difficulty, you did come back to win the pole and the race in 2006. Can you recall some of the details of that month of May for us and how things felt to you at that time?
So, well, we went into that month of May. We went there for a two-day test that they had, and we were the fastest, I think, both days of that test. And then there was a lot of rain that month of May, and we were the fastest every day except for one that month of May, in which we were second that day. So Weldon, and ended up qualifying on the pole, and all I was about is, make it to the last pit stop, and then, after that, then you can fight it out from there. And that's what we did. We made that last pit stop, but we ended up having the fuel issue, and went from running second to being at the tail end of the lead lap, and had to do a drive through penalty at the beginning of that run because of the fueling issue that we had. And we knew that at that point we could probably make it to the end, and we just had to stay fuel to be able to do that. While a lot of the other guys, everybody else is going to have to stop, we knew we could make it to the end. So we've got an opportunity to win this. And then the yellow came out with, eight laps to go. And I'm like, well, darn, that just brought a bunch of people back into the pit window, made it so a bunch of other people could make it to the end. So that was a little bit frustrating, but it just worked out. We had everything timed out right, and we're just happy that, I was amazed that it, worked out, that, everything was able to work out. But for as many things that we had to go wrong in the race, it ended up just being exactly what it needed to be. And it was pretty stressful, but we had the opportunity to win and to really have a memorable finish too, because that'll be one official for a long time.
Well, in that great finish, you were the only person that's ever been able to make a pass on the final lap. Can you walk us through those last four laps, kind of what you remember from that and kind of what some of your thoughts were as soon as you saw that green flag and, you passed a whole bunch of cars just coming to the green flag? And can walk us through a little bit of what you recall of that finish.
Dixon was – I knew that it was going to be difficult because Dixon was restarting right in front of me, and Weldon was right behind me. Those were basically the two guys that I raced with all day long. And I knew it was going to be tough to kind of get with those guys. Plus, there was a couple lap cars, and we were basically fourth, fifth, and sixth. But I think we're eighth, ninth, and tenth as far as how we lined up. So there was a bunch of lap cars up there. Dixon was kind of hanging back a little bit, and I got a pretty good run on him and tried to get to the inside of him going coming through turn three, and then he kind of came down a little bit, and I had to get out of it, and then Weldon got to the inside of me, and we kind of bumped a little bit, and that's how I got the donut on the side of the car. But got my foot back into it, still had a pretty good start, and was able to get past quite a few of the cars just going down the front straightaway. And It seemed like everybody that I came up to, it just kind of timed out perfectly almost, that I could see where they're at, and if I had to let off a little bit more, getting into, you know, turn one so that I could pass them coming off of two, just each of the passes that I made, I was able to time them just about perfectly, and to get up there and to catch up to Michael when he was running second. I thought I'd raced against Michael before, and I knew that he was going to be tough to get around, and he kind of blocked me a little bit, but I had such a head of steam going that by the time he made the decision on what he was going to do, it was kind of too late. He ran me all the way down the grass, but at that point I was going for it, and I was catching up to Marco and on lap 198, and I really, when I first started catching up to him, I wasn't intending on trying to pass him. I was going to wait, to come down to the start finish straightaway, going into turn one to pass him. Well, I was catching up to him, and I started to pull down, and he started to pull down a little bit. I thought, well, he's not going to block me, and then all of a sudden he just started coming down, going into turn three, and I thought, well, give yourself another chance at it. I downshifted a couple gears, and I didn't know if I'd get there or not, but I figured second was going to be better than, better than being crashed. So I just kind of, just the way that last lap timed out, if I would have tried to force it in there, we probably would have both ended up in the wall. But as it was, I made the decision to back up, and I just, it looked to me like he was kind of pinching some of his lines. He was trying to make sure that he didn't make a mistake, and in doing so, he probably ran a little bit slower lap and allowed me to draft up to him. And I knew that with the way that he blocked me the run before that, or the last kind of run that I got, that he would probably try to do it again. So I basically knew that I had to wait, make the decision at the last second, and really not show him which way I was going to go, because he was kind of running in the middle of the track. And then, when he made that first move, I just went farther, because usually when a guy blocks you, they'll kind of come down, they'll look in the mirror to see where you're at, and they'll move again. So I figured I'll let him make the first move, and then I'll just go harder with that, because then, as by the time he's going to have a decision on whether he's going to wreck us both or just stay where he's at, because I knew at that point, Rick Mears told me one time, you come off the start, you come off of turn four, if all four wheels fall off, you're probably still going to slide across the start finish line. So I figured I was either going to go, inside him, outside him, over top. At that point, it didn't really matter. I was doing everything I could do to get around him. So.
And of course, the end result of that was that you are, of more than anyone else in recent history, single-handedly responsible for continuing the Andretti curse at Indianapolis. When you think back on the legendary family that you kept out of victory lane, does that factor into your sentiments on your win at all?
I don't know. I don't like to rejoice in anybody else's, heartache, but I do remember probably one of the things I remember the most about the banquet the next day. I was at the banquet, and Mario came over to me, and he basically grabbed my hand, and he's, Sam Hornish, you're a bad man.
Well, Sam, tell us a little bit about what it was like driving for Roger Penske at Indianapolis for the 4 years that you drove. Four years.
Yeah, 4 years. It was a lot of fun. We had some good runs. I led my first laps in 2004, the first time I went there for Penske. I led the most laps in 2005. I think that we had a really good shot to win in 04. I think 05 we had a top five car, but I don't think we could have won. 2006, the big thing was just make sure we didn't beat ourselves. And then in 2007, I led last again and ran really well, we were actually leading, about five laps before the yellow came off the first time it sprinkled. And they went yellow, and we decided to come in the pit because we didn't think it was going to rain that hard. And then we had a restart, and Elio got around me on that restart, and because I thought that Dixon and Dario were possibly going to run out of fuel, so I was just trying to take it easy there. And then we got the pouring rain, a couple seconds later. So we were in a really good position to win. In 07 too, but just didn't get the job done. So I was just really happy that I had that opportunity to drive for Roger and get him a win and finally get another finish there that is inside the top five that wasn't that even though because we had the problems in four and five, you know.
When you think back over your career at Indianapolis, would you be able to select one favorite memory of your time there? And on the flip side of that, would you have one that would stand out as your greatest disappointment?
I think that probably my 2003 and 2004 are really pretty much tied for my biggest disappointment because 2003, we figured we were down about 55 horsepower there, and just to be on the lead lap and to be in the top five after all the struggles that I'd had up to that point, I thought, I was just so excited about it, and then to have the engine blow up. And if that engine didn't blow up, we could have possibly won the points that year in 2003 because we went from fifth to 15th at the end of that race, and that was a whole bunch of points that we lost. So that was pretty frustrating because it hurt us two ways. It hurt because I felt that was probably the best race that I drove there, of even more so than the year I won. I thought that I did everything I needed to do, and I still couldn't just get that get that lead lap finish where I felt like I should have been. And then 2004 was really difficult because that was the first time I'd led laps there. And, was up front, towards the front all day, was kind of on the same schedule that I was in 2003, just trying to make wise decisions to get to the end. And then, we had the issue in the pits and come back out and, we're like, all right, we're just going to take our time. We still got 100 laps to go. Long, long race, here. And then two guys get together right in front of us and, we end up in it. So those were the disappointments. My two favorite times there were probably, obviously, winning. It's kind of hard to go up against that. But, the first year that I qualified for the race, the full day in 2000, that's probably my fondest memory because, that's the day that I thought something that would never happened. So.
Well, as you had grown up, just hoping to get to Indianapolis, maybe it was too big to even dream that you would win Indianapolis. But once you did, you joined a very elite fraternity. What does it mean to you, even today, after you've been away for a few years, to still be called an Indianapolis 500 champion?
It means a lot to me. It's something that not very many people get to say in life, and I don't really know how to put it necessarily into words, but it's a great honor, and it's surpassed anything that I could have ever dreamed of growing up as a kid. I didn't even dream of winning the Indy 500 because I didn't even think that was in the realm of possibilities. I thought it was a huge enough dream just to say that hopefully someday I'll be able to go to Indy and make the race.
Well, Sam, this comes up a lot, and we're sorry to ask you this question again, but no interview with you about Indianapolis would be complete without the question, will we ever see you back?
I don't know. I don't want to say no because, because you never know what's going to happen, but really at the end of the day, I did more than I ever dreamed of in Indy cars, and I'll be back there for sure. I don't know if I'll ever be in a car again. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Fair enough. Okay, well, thank you so much for that.
I kind of enjoy it too much now. I get to watch it, and I have to have all the stress that's involved in it. So it's actually quite a lot of fun just to be able to be, it's like being a kid again on Memorial Day when I get to sit there and watch the start of the race and just cheer for whoever I want to cheer for, and I have to just think about myself, I guess.
So you get to sit like the rest of us and just take it all in. Yeah, we all certainly enjoy
there's
that,
there's
too.
There's a certain amount of fun that's involved in going there and actually being able to race it, but there's a lot of fond memories that every time I watch the festivities and I see the start of the race, that brings back even better memories than winning. It's, bringing back childhood memories. So I kind of enjoy that part of it.
That's great. Thank you so much, Sam, for taking the time to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening as well. Please stay tuned throughout the month of May as we continue to bring you interviews with every 500 winner that we can reach as part of our Centennial Interview Series. And remember that morefrontwing.com is your source online for blogs, photos, podcasts, and more covering the iZod IndyCar Series and beyond.